Sessions is cutting through the matrix on the 30th of December 2018. I hope everyone is settling down after the Christmas craziness, the mad Christmas craziness and New Year craziness, and getting over all the tension that built up towards the whole frenzy of commercialism, which has become Christmas, unfortunately. And it's true enough, I mean, folk are snapping. They get awfully snappy at this time of year. And I noticed it even at the local general store that is supposed to be a post office as well, although it really sells booze. That's its main income, is alcohol. And they don't really cater much to the grocery section they're supposed to be doing, but they accept parcels to come in there, although somehow they manage to get round to posting stuff out from there with stamps, etc. But they'll accept parcels because they get paid for it at this little general store. Even there, they were kind of nasty. We went to go and try and pick up a parcel that I knew had been delivered because it had a tracking number to it. And this is the craziness as you go down the tubes into this third worldism that I talk about. You find that things just simply don't work the same way. Or if they don't work the same way and it's no real crisis, people start sticking by crazy rules. Where at one time Canadians would be more, give you more leeway with things. For instance, in these big giant postbox conglomerates that we go up and collect our mail from, the postman will often put in a little chitty, a little receipt thing, or that you're supposed to take up to the general store to collect your parcel, if it's a parcel size. And lo and behold, this thing wasn't there. So I go up there, and by God, were they snooty towards me, as though I was in a different country. And they haven't quite got into the touch of being, of that Canadians don't get like that, you know, towards customers, the general public, especially the general public who happen to pay for the post office, because it's all funded by us, the taxpayer. And the government's supposed to be there to serve the public. But there's no pretense in a lot of people these days. And they get kind of snooty at you. And they don't really want to give you a parcel unless you have this little chitty. Well, if the postman hasn't given you the little chitty for your parcel, then they should simply hand it over, since they don't know it's there and they know who you are and you're going to sign for it anyway, and etc. Because that's, I mean, for years and years I went to the same place to pick up parcels. And it's changed hands, you see, too. There was never a problem if you didn't have a chitty. Because the postman often, especially in the Christmas rush, he's not got time to do all that kind of stuff. Or it may have gone into a different post box, for instance, where someone else has got it. Or maybe he was just too much, how much of a rush. He's standing there in the freezing cold, sub-zero temperatures, ticking off different things and putting mail in the boxes. And it's, again, it's gigantic. It's like a whole range, a whole stack of them, all these different boxes for different people. We collect our own. We don't get delivered to the houses because we're first of all, you see. As I say, he's supposed to put a chitty there, but if he doesn't do it, so what? Generally, in years gone by, there was no crisis about it. But now, there are different peoples with different attitudes, and they treat you like a peasant. And a naughty peasant, because you're obviously lying. You must be lying. They don't say that, but they infer it. You can tell. And it's your fault that they didn't get the chitty. Eh? So what are they going to do? Are they going to keep the parcel or something? Well, I got the darn parcel, but I will put in a higher complaint about it. Because you got to start complaining now, as we're down the tubes. You've got to start complaining, or you'll get walked all over in this system that's really becoming inhumane. And you're amongst people now who are all out for themselves. They have no idea what really part of the community even means, which is give and take. That kind of stuff. Common sense is called decency and respect for the customer. Respect's awfully important. You start losing respect, I'm not kidding you, you're going down the tubes fast. So I told this woman, I said I didn't get the chitty. Oh, she was not happy at all. And they're getting paid for it anyway. It comes in there and they get paid for a parcel that comes in. They won't post anything out of there. because they managed to get around that somehow when they took over the business, which is really bad because there's no post office for miles now. You have to go into Sudbury, into the city, from the country now, to get something posted off. Isn't that disgusting? Huh? As we claim we're a first world country, but it's all perception management, isn't it? As we go down the tubes. And when you see how much the American dollar is worth to Canadian dollar, I mean, we've sunk about 30 cents and dropping fast below what the US dollar is. And over the years, I've seen the Canadian dollar at times be more than the US dollar. And they swap up and down because it's the same conglomerate of managers managing the World Bank system that just moves it back and forth from country to country to suit themselves, this up and down exchange rate. So as we plummet, other countries are benefit, but it's all benefiting through the same banking system. It's all a con game, a shell game, isn't it? But as I say, getting back to this whole idea, yeah, you have to really start complaining these days and going above folks' heads. Because they won't respect you as a customer. You have to go above their heads, you see. And it's only a little bit of fear from their superiors, whoever they happen to be, or the licensing committees that gets some respect on the go. Because this is not a third world country, or treated like a third world. Not exactly just yet, although it's dropping. Respect, respect, respect. And we live in such an age of propaganda. Incredible propaganda. I was going to give a talk, actually more than a talk. I could write a book on the agencies involved in propaganda in country by country. It's into the thousands now, folks, of agencies employed by using our tax money to brainwash us. Really is. You have no idea. When you look at even the movies that, say, Hollywood has churned out with the Pentagon over many years for the war industry. There was one that was called Executive Decision with Kurt Russell in it. And Kurt Russell's been in a lot of these kind of movies. But the money they must have forked out from a taxpayer to make the thing must have been phenomenal, using the Air Force and different agencies, etc., with the usual anti-terrorism thing, back in the 90s, getting all ready for it. But it's the same in every country. We're getting incredible propaganda. And they give us the nudge units. Sunstein's nudge units, he called them. And these are the agencies that literally are working round the clock now, lots of them, on training you what to say, what not to say, how to behave, how to change behavior, without you even being aware that it's been applied to you. You'll simply, it's behaviorism, incredible behaviorism, run by experts, as they say. Again, using our tax money to brainwash us and change our behavior. Even to make you feel bad or guilty about stuff that you shouldn't feel bad or guilty about. Really. It's quite something else, isn't it? And they give you the leaders. Don't forget that when it comes to psychology, they'll pick them up, boost them to the top, give them lots of fair play, and they're part of the system already. And then television and so on. They always give you your leaders. Don't forget that, folks. Most folk will forget it. They always forget it. But they do. That's how it's run. It must always appear to the public that things happen by themselves, spontaneously. And they give you the leaders. And you'll find the leaders often are part of different United Nations agendas and are on committees for sustainability and things like that in the past. It's really astonishing to dig in a little bit and find out, my God, you're right enough. Yeah, you're right. That little sixth sense that you have, listen to it once in a while, intuition. But every country has got these behavioral insights teams working globally, by the way. They're connected across the whole planet, set up again behind your backs, without your knowledge. They're prompting you and training you, and they also draft up all the things the hate speech taboos, and they also help train the people who are now censoring you. And I'll mention a couple of things that are happening about that tonight. In fact, it's really difficult for people, very difficult for people, to really believe that most of the leaders that you'll end up following are always presented and given to you. They're handed to you. Really. I read an article recently, for instance, about the last midterm elections they had in the States, and how many of them now are getting promoted through and via the CIA, FBI, ex-military, and so on, high military and intelligence, and getting them into the politics for the Democrats now, so that they'll become, of course, which they really are already, the middle stream of America, of the military-industrial complex. They're two working people are, forget it, folks, it's no different than Britain or anywhere else. The Labour Party in Britain forgot the working people, I think, back in Harold Wilson's day. Really. And definitely, come the 70s and 80s, totally forgot the working people altogether. But they still give you representatives that occasionally give the right talks about it. But they're completely for the war agendas. They're completely for this global agenda of internationalism and experts running our lives for us all. It goes on and on. It never ends, does it? But don't forget it. It's not supposed to end. War's not meant to be fought and won. It's meant to continue forever. George Orwell's 1984. It's very profitable for those involved in the making of the weapons and the surveillance stuff too. Back in the 90s, they had articles in the big magazines, well-known magazines at the time, about the end of war. What would happen if you had the end of war? When we don't have other countries to fight, even though that was a kind of, it's a what-if thing. They knew darn well they're going to bring in an age of terrorism as a backlash against the wars they're going to have. And that all set up too. But they did say that if there was no war, just in a hypothetical world, how would these same organizations that fund or that make the weapons, for instance, what would they do? Well, they were explained that they're already turning and turned away into mass surveillance. And then early 90s this was. So it's not just happening. And that the police would be part of it too, and they get all these special surveillance techniques. We have fusion centres now across the North America and Europe, where they can route whole segments of society and individuals within and route all their stuff through certain fusion points as well. I know someone who got into British Telecom, and he actually found one of the main trunk systems went across to Belgium. And this is the main ones, of course, for security and so on. But they're heading off to Belgium for some reason, and the public were totally unaware of it. And they're routing a lot of folks' calls all over the place. So they were being spied on a long time ago. Spied on. Then they mentioned, oh, it's just black boxes that route them and so on, and for certain people, blah, blah, blah. And then they had the big God machine. They thought, oh my God, this God machine, or the devil machine, as some of them called it. It was a mass computer system in the 90s that could hook up everybody's ID, everything about every individual. It was already up and being added to with information again in the 90s. Folk forget all that too. The beast. a whole bunch of names for the same thing. And then in the late 90s, after lots of anti-Middle Eastern movies, basically, or about Middle Eastern people, lots of movies, getting everybody used to it, bingo, it happens with 2001. And away we've gone since then. It hasn't stopped. And it won't stop. Because it's too lucrative. And governments start to lose their traction to an extent. Governments either have to say, we're so busy fighting terrorism and wars and so on and blah, blah, blah. Or if there's none of that, they've got to start answering some of the questions put to them by the people. So it's much easier to say, oh, we're just so busy tackling all this crisis across the globe, etc., etc., etc. And politicians, remember, are partly there to fill their own pockets, because that's the kind of people who go into politics. They used to publish the criminal records of politicians in Britain and other countries, in Canada too, and folk could apply to go into politics. And the amount of them who had been bankrupt umpteen times before that is just astonishing. It tells you a lot about them. And they go into politics because they get a little bit of power, they can start getting a lot of wealth. It's astonishing, isn't it? No matter what the income is, they seem to always bring in more than the income is worth. Isn't that astonishing? Because they're seeing lots of lobbyists all the time, aren't they? And even though they're not the bosses, there's a certain amount of play to help to fill their own pockets with things. Of course there is. And lots of them get awfully well rewarded as soon as they walk out of politics. Some of them go into politics right from corporations, high levels in corporations. And then when they're in politics, they help change the playing field for their own ex-corporation. Let's say ex-corporation. And once they've changed the rules a bit, they go back into the corporate, same corporations. You find the same with the US. The US is good. It's always getting picked on, but it's more open about its systems and who's in the systems of governing the people and the different agencies than elsewhere in the world. And I've had articles before over the years where you had the Food and Drug Administration, for instance. The folk are trained to believe they're there to look after the people. But so many of them, including some of the heads of them at times, are coming straight out of big pharma or big of chemical agencies or the ones who supply the chemicals to farming, for instance, as I say, but mainly the drug corporations. And they come in, they're sitting in the panels, change things, even get drugs passed and so on, and then go back to the same companies that they worked for. It's astonishing. It really is astonishing how this works. It truly is. At least in the States, it's a bit more open. If you want to get the information, you have more chance of getting it. Other countries, especially the European and the British system of the British Commonwealth countries, are much better at covering it up until you can find hardly anything at all. That's how it is. And it's astonishing. Everything's astonishing, really, isn't it? Because we're trained to believe one thing while the truth is always something else. And young folk who think they're on a roll, coming into any job, it's always been this way, are cocky, naturally they're cocky. They think, they're always told that they're better educated than anybody who came before them. But when you really question them and their cockiness, they'll argue with you about everything. And at the same time, they really haven't got a clue of what they're talking about. They believe what they're told. They don't go and look at anything for themselves. But they tend to believe what they're told. But they still argue with you, even though they don't know. I had a little disagreement there with TELUS again. It's the TELUS company in Canada, where they gave me the bill for the month, and they claimed that they didn't get the money for last month, the previous month. But it was sent off on time, plenty of time. Weeks and weeks, in fact, before it was due. And the guy, this cocky guy, comes on, and right off the bat, he says, "Well, I didn't think your company accepted checks anymore." Arrogant, you know what? Huh? Cocky, arrogant, you know what? See, they're trying to get everybody off checks, and totally electronic. It saves them time and everything else, and they want to have access to your bank account so they can just put their hands in there and pull out the account. Most folk don't mind; they're trained so well. Because Bernays said, what did Ed Bernays say? He says, don't make good products to serve the people. Change the people to serve your product. Where it's a supermarket, make them going like chickens in a conveyor belt to pick up all their stuff, to check it kind of. Or, you know, like TELUS, for instance. Yeah. Make the people do all the work. And it'll save the company for more money, for more profit and more profit. They're doing awfully well as it is. So I mentioned to him, I says, you know, you got it in time. And I said, I asked him too, I said, you try to get us off. Is this really, because you don't know, they could hold back the check and not bother putting it through, just so that you'll call, knowing you'll call up and then try to browbeat you. And they'll probably look up your age and everything else here too. Oh yeah, so and so. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Very cocky and arrogant. Again, to the customer. This is where it's coming down to now. There's no pretense now at serving the customer. You get mocked now when you call up to complain about something. And that's what mockery is. So I told him, I says, you know, you want it all cashless, blah, blah, blah. I prefer getting the check through, I says. And that check, when it comes back from the bank, after being cashed and all, but that's your receipt. You got proof. When your computer crashes, what you got? Gone. But I couldn't believe the guy. And I just, you know, bantered a little bit with him. And it's amazing what he did not know. But he was sure, that he did. He didn't even know the banks had been bailed out in 2008 and 2009 in Canada. He didn't know that. He didn't believe it. But he's arrogant, so arrogant and cocky, you see, because after all, he's younger. And he just knows everything better than you. And he thinks he's on a roll in his job. So as it turned out, eventually I got them to cancel any late fee, because I'm not late for anything. I says, look, the post office has been on this strike, go slow thing for a while. I says, take it up with the Canadian government, they own it. You know, it's not my fault. I put the thing up in time. And as I say, I have no proof that they didn't receive it, in fact. And it's definitely, it could be worth their while to get everybody totally cashless and just hold it back. Of course they did. Because he kept saying right off the bat, he's trying to get you to pay cashless. Immediately. As I say, he couldn't finish a sentence before do we still even take checks anymore? I don't think we even have a department that does that. I says, well, you've been happy to take it for the last 6 years. But cocky and arrogant to the customer. That's what you're getting these days, folks. And as it gets more and more centralized, this power, of course, by corporations working together like a big gang for everything you need, including your food, by the way, and everything else, it's going to get a lot worse. A lot worse. There is no democracy. There's only special rights groups for special groups that they've created to give the appearance of democracy, but for reality, for the general population, for anything you really need at all, there's no democracy at all, unless you stand up for it and demand it. And it's time you all started doing that individually. Absolutely. Absolutely. And folk will always say, oh yeah, you know, if the people could only do this or do that. I can remember years ago when they talked about the price of gasoline going up. And the old cry was, if everyone would just stop buying it for a week, you bring them to their knees, which is true. But you can't ever get the public to do anything together, which the big boys know. And it's even better when they can always divide and conquer. And it's even better again when they have an amazing class system, which we pretend doesn't exist, and democracies. But living in Britain, I certainly knew the caste system. And the folk at the bottom always suffer first with whatever it is that they need that gets shoved up in price. And the ones it's a varying middle class, from just middle class to wealthy middle class to even very wealthy middle class, you see. There's a whole range amongst themselves too. But the idea is they don't feel the pain, obviously, if they can keep affording whatever it is that everyone's suffering down below them. They don't care. And they're encouraged not to care about it. Then, of course, they start squealing when it's their turn, if it gets that high. And they put enough pressure on, perhaps, and stop buying or whatever, until whatever there's a protesting caves in. That's how it works. Why do you think government has created all the different factions of gender wars and sub-gender wars and variations and ethnic wars and blah, 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 blah? Can everybody fight everybody else? That's wonderful when you really think that everybody's getting fighting everybody else. Well, you're all being plundered for your price of your gasoline, for electricity, for your food that's going up and up and up, etc., etc. I mean, everybody's taught that that's not important. Let's fight this and let's fight that. Forget all the other things, folks. I don't care who you are. If you eventually can't afford your food, you're in trouble. And the agenda is to bring in mass austerity. They all signed on to that, the United Nations, a few years ago. After the last crash, the coming austerity. And the Club of Rome talked about the necessity to bring in austerity, and Maurice Strong talked about bringing austerity in a post-industrial, post-consumerist society. What do you think they meant by that? These are for folk who talk to the public like dictators talked, Maurice Strong especially. He said one at the Earth meeting, the first one, and I've got the old recording there of people who attended it. When they asked him at the end, when they said, look, in this Earth Charter, there's no rights for humans mentioned here. And Maurice, with his usual arrogance, his cocky arrogance, he says, because the guy said, you've got rights for even trees for biodiversity. And so, Maurice Strong says, by the time we're finished, you'll wish you had the rights of a tree. Well, no one ever voted for Maurice Strong to have any position over anybody, but he was put in there by the CFR, Royal Institute for International Affairs, and he was picked up by David Rockefeller, it was actually, picked him up and groomed him and put him into the oil business in Canada and other places. And old Maurice had told everybody else to be austere, had massive business interests across the globe in energy sectors. Is this telling you to use less and live in austerity? It's always the same story, folks, from these crooks. And they are gangsters. Belong to a club who've been trained and picked the real, real ultra deep state above all. And picked to rule over the people. Not with any democracy in mind at all. Democracy is a temporary sham, folks. And it was designed to be a temporary sham. There have been many articles written about Maurice Strong. And here's one, actually, from a few years ago, and talks about Maurice Strong, climate crook, it's called. Editors said that 5 years ago, Quadrant Online, that's the organization that published this, I guess, published this profile of Maurice Strong, as the man who, more than any other, redefined a trace gas, that was carbon dioxide, as a meal ticket for tens of thousands of climate functionaries. The same people whose light-fingered airs, awfully well put too, are today gathered in Paris, that was back in 2015. To mark his passing, we once again present, this is John Izzard's profile, of the man who did very nicely by costing everyone else dearly. This is a massive plan to control the lives of us all and enrich those at the top. It's so interesting to look at the CFR, Royal Institute for International Affairs Group, that runs the planet. At least they're the second tier at the top. There's a capstone above them because there's an inner party. But they run your politics. They run. They actually set up the organisations and think tanks that advise governments across the whole planet. They run think tanks for the military across the whole planet. Everything that means anything at all is run by them and their members, including how to control the people and run the people and organize the people and even depopulate the planet through austerity, etc. And you don't vote for any of them. And it says, the yellow brick road to climate change. January has certainly been a defining month in the quest for truth about climate change, and the custodians of that truth aren't looking that flash at the moment. Indeed, in the month of January, some of the major doomsday prophecies unraveled, and the prophets themselves seem to undergo vows of silence. This is Kevin Rudd, Penny Wong, Tim Flannery, who are never lost for words, seemed, well, totally lost for words. Like Dorothy Lyon, Tin Man and Scarecrow in The Wizard of Oz, we've all been dancing down the real brick road of settled science, as they call it, the pretense of it, you see, in search of answers from the Emerald City, only to find that we've been, well, we suspected all along, the wizard has been telling us fibs. But who exactly is a wizard, and where did this seeming madness all begin? So they go into some of it, and they mention Maurice Strong, he's one big player. Says the whole climate change business, and it is a business, started with Mr. Strong, but it started with the Club of Rome too, who were given the task, this big think tank, given the task of finding a way that they could really rule the people from their own excuses, basically, to do so. So they came up with the idea of climate change and how humanity was destroying the planet. That's what they claimed. So man was the enemy. So you'd need naturally experts to rule you, you see, because you couldn't rule yourselves. It said that would fit the bill, or the words of those in the Club of Rome. Anyway, it says, Maurice Strong, a self-confessed socialist. Now, you understand what he means by this. This is a multi-millionaire socialist, because he was created and brought up the ladder to be a multi-millionaire socialist by the Royal Institute for International Affairs, Council on Foreign Relations. It says, was the man who put the United Nations into the environmental business, being the shadowy figure behind the UN Secretary's General from Uthant to Kofi Annan. His reign of influence in world affairs lasted from 1962 to 2005. Strong has been variously called the international man of mystery, the new guy in your future, and a very dangerous ideologue. Made his fortune in the oil and energy business, running companies such as Petro-Canada Power Corporation. You surprised how the Desmarais family, that is Power Corporation, they call it. They churn out leaders. And they've churned out goddess of many prime ministers for Canada, for instance. And for corporations as well. CEOs. But anyway, it says Canada Power Corporation, Caltex Africa, Hydro Canada, the Colorado Lands and Cattle Company, Ajax Petroleum, Canadian Industrial Oil and Gas, to name just a few. But he was really a front man for the Rockefellers. Complete. They created him, totally, from the beginning. They picked him up as a kid. And meaning what he is, he's a front man. So his private interests always seemed to be in conflict with his personal persona and his work on the world stage. Strong's extensive range of contracts within the power brokers of the world was exceptional. One admirer christened him the Michelangelo of networking. He described himself as a socialist in ideology and a capitalist in methodology. But see, the idea, those who enrich themselves at the CFR and Royal Institute for International Affairs at the top always fill their pockets. They believe that they're the world's natural rulers. And when they're picked up, they're told that too, to give them a little bit more incentive keep climbing the ladder in these private clubs. And socialism is the way of controlling the population through laws with panels of experts, which is Sovietism, the meaning of rule by councils, folks, for those who don't know that. In 1972, he organized the Youthant First Earth Summit, the Stockholm Conference on the Human Environment, and it led to the formation of the UN Environment Programme with Maurice Strong as its head. Later, as the UNEP boss, he organised the first international expert group meetings on climate change. It led to exotic UN-sponsored organisations such as the Earth Council and Earth Charter. And that was also drafted up by the Rockefellers, and Strong fronted for it. The World Resources Institute, the World Wildlife Fund, which is, again, the head at that time was Prince Philip, and later the Commission for World Governance and the United Nations University for Peace. Remember what the old communist adage was too, this real socialism idea, the test bed for all. And believe me, that the heads of the Soviet system filled their pockets too, by the way, if you think it's a different separate organization. And they said that for them, peace was the end of all opposition. That's how they defined peace. So Strong was the driving force behind the idea for world governance by the United Nations, and look at all organisations now attached to universities for world governance. And he dreamt up a world tax on monetary transactions of 0.5%, which would have given the UN an annual income of $1.5 trillion, that's on top of all the other money they get, but equal then to the income of the USA. The stumbling block was the Security Council and their power of veto. So he devised a plan to get rid of Secretary of Security Council, but failed to get it implemented. Then along came the idea that global warming might just be the device, you know, to get his world governance proposal up and running. And it wasn't his, folks. As I say, it's an organization, very old organization. It runs your central banks. It runs your World Bank, your IMF, and the Bank for International Settlements. They didn't believe, these guys never believed that the people were fit for democracy and could be ever trusted in democracy. But they would use democracy as an excuse to invade other countries that didn't have a semblance of it. Strong was appointed Secretary General of the Earth Summit, and in 1992, imagine, they pretty well create the organization, then appoint themselves as head. In 1992, addressed the Earth Summit in Rio. And he told the thousands of climate change delegates, it is clear that current lifestyles and consumption patterns of the affluent middle class, involving high meat intake, consumption of large amounts of frozen and convenience foods, use of fossil fuels, appliances, home and workplace air conditioning and suburban housing, are not sustainable. And so basically, they said they'd have to end. And this is me blabbing here too from other articles about them. They said that they would have to basically end a lot of consumerism, be post-consumer, and you're going to austerity. That's the idea behind it. And also, they had big meetings where Strong and others, but he did say that they'd have to eliminate, destroy Western manufacturing. And you think you've got a say in anything? Do you really think that? Because the organizations, all these organizations I've mentioned, they're not, you don't get any say in it. They don't ask for your opinion on anything. They don't care about your opinion on anything. From the United Nations, multifaceted organization, all the way down to anything else, you never ask your opinion on anything. Never mind your vote on it. You don't get that either. You vote these guys in. And it says, there goes the Sunday roast, a house to live in. I haven't seen a Sunday roast since for years and years. The occasional hamburger and generally life on earth as we know it. But what Strong didn't tell the delegates was that he was involved in the purchase of the Colorado Land and Cattle Company, which he bought from Adrian Khashoggi. Remember Khashoggi? Huh? An arms dealer who had strong connections with the Bin Laden family. Interesting how they all come together, the heroes and the zeros, eh? This is a 200,000-acre property called the Baca. Had two hidden secrets. Now, one was it sat above vast underground water systems. It's actually the largest aquifer system in the United States. Just happens to be that. And Strong wanted it to. He wanted to remove the water, being in front of the American Water Development Corporation to exploit the water by pumping it out for commercial intent, but was stopped by the locals who feared it would destroy the delicate environment, well, it would destroy their cattle systems and everything, and their farming. Here's the power of these crooks, eh? But don't forget, too, I think it was Rockefeller who actually owned that Baca Ranch. The Maclean's magazine in Canada. And I've got the original magazine. I actually had a big article about Maurice Strong. And he set up a big New Age movement there with all kinds of New Age religion types to try and get together, he said, and create a new culture for the world. But he had gurus from India, he had Buddhists, he had all kinds of New Agers there too. And you find, see, they create the New Agers for you to follow. They do. And you'll find they're always going the same direction. We've all got to be one. We've all got to be together in this world of ours. We must all agree with the same agendas, blah, blah, blah. Well, they train these folks. They always train your leaders, always. Just like Maurice Strong himself was trained for his position. But yeah, the Maclean's magazine had a good article on the Baca Grande development there. He said, too, that Maurice Strong had been told by a mystic, had mystics, that's what it said, yeah, that the Baca would become the center for a new planetary order which would evolve from the economic collapse and environmental catastrophes that would sweep the globe in the years to come. And you know something? You will get certain catastrophes because you won't be able to heat yourself or use air conditioning for those who are in really hot climates. And you won't get meat anymore unless you can really afford incredible prices, which puts most of the people out of the picture. And at the last meeting at the Paris climate change thing, again, massive articles compiled by think tanks, obviously, to eliminate your intake of meat. It really is fascinating to reminisce for me. It's all reminiscing for me because I studied Maurice Strong. I gave lots of talks on Maurice Strong. I can remember too when he went to Russia. And they laid out the red carpet, lots and lots of it, for Mr. Maurice Strong to walk on as though he was royalty. I'd never seen that done before for anybody. But they certainly knew who he was. By the way, I did articles on him too, because he had his aunt, who was, he belonged to a revolutionary family, intergenerational. And his aunt was an advisor to, I think it was Mao Zedong, the leader of communism in China. Her grave was next to his over there in China. And an article in one of the Canadian papers said that he was over there visiting the grave of his auntie. Then he set up there his home for a long time and still worked for the United Nations, working on setting all their businesses up in China from the West, which we all paid for as they all got moved over there. Did you get to vote in any of this, folks? Of course you didn't. Most folk don't even know about it even today. So these are the real technocrats that are created and groomed, picked up young, and groomed for the positions. And that's what a technocrat is. Now, also, Maurice Strong was busy founding the Earth Council Institute in 1992 and recruiting world luminaries such as Mikhail Gorbachev, Shimon Peres, Al Gore, and David Rockefeller. In 2000, Earth Charter was formed as a further push by Strong to create a world government body, or governing body. That's you call it governing, you see. But it's government, of course. You don't need a place even for government. You can be scattered across the planet. Although eventually they will have one, for sure. I'm sure they will. They're the builders, remember. Builders. And in 2005, the most powerful man in the push to save humanity by steady promotion of the theory of human-induced greenhouse gases was caught with his hand in the till. Investigations in the United Nations Oil for Food Programme found it Strong and endorsed a check for $988,885 made out to M. Strong, issued by a Jordanian bank. The man who gave the check, South Korean businessman Tong Sung Park, was convicted in 2006 in a US federal court of conspiring to bribe UN officials. Strong resigned and fled to Canada and then to China, where he's been living ever since. Well, he's dead now. That was oil for food programs and so on. To starving people. They don't do anything of any sort of decency towards any humanity. They have no common decency. In fact, they despise common humanity. But also, too, I think if I remember, I think, was it Boutros Ghali there, or Kofi Annan, but I know that it was the son of one of the UN head, of the UN head at the time, who also was involved in that food program, Oil for Food. For Iraq. They were starving people, of course, because we're so humanitarian towards the people in the Middle East that we starve them to death all the time if we're not blowing them up. And that's the part two. I think a lot of this may have come from talks that I gave, I don't know. But it says Strong is believed to have sanctioned China because of his cousin Anne Louise Strong, a Marxist who lived with Mao Zedong, yeah, that's right, for 2 years. And when she died in 1970, her funeral was arranged by Premier Chu Enlai. Anne Louise Strong was a Comintern member, so was Pierre Trudeau, the father of the present Prime Minister of Canada, an organization formed in 1919 as the Third International, with one of its aims to use, by all available means, including armed force, for the overthrow of the international bourgeoisie. Quite a world we have, isn't it? But don't forget the big organization that helped fund it all and promote it all, and the banking system that funded that communist system into existence. Didn't do it by itself. Quite a world, really. Anyway, I'm getting lost in all this kind of stuff. I didn't mean to even go in this direction, but there you are. And I'm going to try and touch on some articles here for those who want to look it up and see for themselves. It's amazing, again, Ran Beadle, like the arrogant prunes of young, very naive but arrogant prunes that run our lives at the moment, or think they do. If you cave into them, believe you me, there's going to be euthanasia down the road for anyone over a certain age, folks. It's already on the cards. And these characters are the ones that'll be pushing all. Anyway, it says, the cost to West Australia of Shorten's green energy plan revealed $1 billion, be a lot more than that, folks. I'll put this up anyway. Australia's a big one, because they use that as a big test bed too, much like Canada. All the old British Empire system countries are always test beds where they push things, and we don't object as much as some people, like America, yet far more. That's why the US was the hope for a lot of the world, for the people, the population, who did stand up to their own government and really push the rules. If you have no rules, like a constitution, or they're being ignored, then you don't have a country anymore, or whoever's running your country is not what it was. It's been taken over, obviously. But there was the hope to the world for the rights that the citizens had. It really was. It's a sad house, mate. It's been taken over itself, probably long ago, actually, by the money boys and so on. And Hoover rules. Hoover has the gold, maketh the rules. I think it was one of the Brofmans that said that years ago. And that's just true. We're all running on this crazy thing called money. The only a select few have the right, apparently, to manage at the top. Questions and answers to climate change, all you should know about your position. Also, another one too, is to do with the carbon taxes. And it says details of the horrible carbon tax bill. Democrat Florida Congressman Ted Deutch has introduced a carbon tax bill to impose a new national energy tax on the American people. So I'll put this one up as well. And it's called the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act of 2018. In the countries that are plummeting, because we're now flattening the planet to be a mass of poverty, then a smaller middle class, then the elite and the professionals who rule us all. All that those in academia, etc. So that is the system. That's how it's planned. And I've mentioned before about how bad it's in Britain. As they build houses, by the way, in the newspapers, for masses of migrants coming in. It says 24,000 people sleeping rough on public transport in the UK, a charity says. And that's from The Guardian. And it says more than 24,000 people in Britain will spend the festive period sleeping rough in cars, trains, buses or tents, according to new estimates that throw lights on the scale of so-called hidden homelessness. There's a lot more than that, I'm sure. And at least 320,000 homeless people in Britain at the moment, says a shelter. A charity says the figure for England, Scotland and Wales is likely to be underestimated. And then excess winter deaths in England and Wales is because the folk in their homes are dying. This is not in the streets. Mainly, anyway. But it says there's not one mention of fuel poverty in the entire article. Because the folk can't get fuel. They can't pay for fuel. Because they're doing so well paying for all the other things. You know this, in the welfare system. And more folk are flooding in, need a lot of money to be taken care of. Well, where's it coming from, folks? Who's paying it off? Guess. So it says snow and Derbyshire last December, the temperature last winter is thought to have been partly to blame for the excess deaths, yada yada. And there was 50,100 excess deaths in England and Wales last winter, a prolonged spell of extreme cold. But it's amazing how they managed to skip they're trying to get away from the folk dying in their homes, actually, and just say they're dying in the winter. Mm-mm-mm. And then there's this article too, about, again, along the Maurice Strong plan, you know, the big boys that he worked for. And he was an employee, he was a high technocrat, but he was ruthless too, a ruthless tyrant, and that's what a technocrat is. They don't believe in democracy. They don't talk to the people with any pretended service to the public. They're not elected by the public. They're just put over them in charge of the public. And that's the farce of democracy. He's only one of many, by the way. Look at what the Trilateral Commission is as well. And Brussels denies the European Union rules encourage euthanasia tourism. And of course it does, because it's part of the agenda, right? And they deny that EU rules have facilitated the growth of euthanasia tourism amid fears it's becoming more popular in Belgium. There's been an increase in the number of patients travelling from EU countries where euthanasia is illegal to die in Belgium, where so-called mercy killings has been legal since 2002. And so they're going about that too. But they've got it everywhere now. You've got it in Canada now as well. It's cheaper than giving you treatment, isn't it? It really is. That you think it's all for help, to help you. No, it's because it's cheaper than giving you good treatment. That's what it is, folks. And then you have another one on suicide tourism from Wikipedia. And then here's another thing. You always think about what you're trained to believe by the so-called experts, right? Bertrand Russell, they'll train the public to listen to experts, but always to avoid their own common sense. A cardiologist slams incorrect advice from the World Health Organization, urging people to replace butter and lard with healthier vegetable oils in 2019. And Dr. Asim Malhotra called them the WHO to review and update his guidance. Butter has been demonized for decades over its high content of saturated fat, but an array of scientific evidence is beginning to counter those claims. They've always known what the counter the claims were. It says here that he's an avid supporter of this doctrine of saturated fats, which he thinks have been wrongly demonized since the 1970s. Same time, the 1970s, when they demonized the fat. Remember the big sugar industry? I read the articles where it's admitted only recently, declassified stuff. They paid massive amounts of money to, again, top. You can always buy professionals from folks in medicine. And to write all these articles out to start the whole craze that it was fats that was to blame for folk becoming fat. Not sugar. Huh? Anyway, this doctor told me online, she's her friend was shocked and disturbed that the WHO are giving incorrect and non-evidence-based advice on fats. Asking people to replace butter or lard with industrial seeds such as corn, sunflower, soybean or safflower will continue to cause harm to public health. These oils, being particularly high in omega-6 fatty acids, are pro-inflammatory. That's why you get so much arthritis and problems. And can be toxic when heated for common frying purposes. And it's much, much worse than that. You understand, too, if you're into evolution as an example, if you're into that, you didn't evolve on these oils. Also, too, you had China accusing the UK of deep-rooted pride and prejudice after Defence Secretary Gavin Williamson, this is in Britain, raised deep concerns over Huawei's, that's a big Chinese network system, manufacturer of their modems and stuff, involvement in 5G network. So, again, they're hammering China and China and China, even though, but most of the stuff that China's got has already been tested upon us by other companies. It really is, you know. And of course, China and Russia, the new Russia, are supposed to be the main enemies at the moment. Another one, too, they arrested a couple of people in supposedly the Gatwick airport in England because a little drone went over it, supposedly. But again, after they arrested them, and really, imagine getting your face plastered across the planet in front pages, being laid out by cops. And it was all false. Can you believe that? And when they do something like that, they never admit they're wrong. They never ever do that. They never admit they're wrong, folks. And then at the end, even the police chief says, well, of course it could be. There's no evidence there actually was a drone there. It was just hearsay. Someone phoned it in and made big, big news about this. And then they have, but they give no apology to the poor people who had nothing to do with it. At all. I'll put the article up anyway. And then you find that if there's other articles coming out, because it's almost like a big, big ad for the military-industrial boys, because they got all these, oh, we could have got this new system in here if the government would buy it to detect the smallest drones at all and fire them out of the skies, etc. It's like a big, big ad. It's like a false flag thing to sell stuff. It really is. That's what I think it really is. And then you have Facebook secret censorship rulebook. Thousands of slides of banned so-called hate groups, in other words, phrases and emojis, they call them, that 7,500 lowly paid moderators are supposed to use to police 2 billion users. I mentioned it too. A lot more actually in the Philippines. But yeah, they have organizations now to ban your speech, which is to ban your thought, which eventually is to punish and ban you if you haven't quite figured it out yet. In a cashless society, for even paying your rent, like Bertrand Russell said in the 1940s. Mm-hmm. Isn't that astonishing, eh? Macron in France caves, and again French police will be given pay raise after the blue vests joined the yellow vests in anti-government movement. But of course they did it for money. And WhatsApp, child porn problem. Google and Facebook's ad networks funded apps that led users to groups on the private messenger that are dedicated to swapping illegal images. Paedophiles. For paedophile groups. ISIS has executed 700 Syrian prisoners in the past 2 months, says Human Rights Group. It's really something, isn't it? It really is something. The world you live in, as to what they want you to believe. But again, the RAF now, it says track RAF unit could have downed drone, causing chaos for tens of thousands at Gatwick, but ministers refuse to let them help. By the way, people say they saw a drone, but again, there's no conclusive proof that it even happened. But there really is a big push, I think, for really new systems of defence around airports. And money, 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 money. That's what we live in, a system of mass money creation. Also, as you know, the stuff about the US pulling troops out of Syria, they haven't quite done it yet. But if you just look at the maps, you'll find that just across the border of Syria, you've got massive US military base in Iraq. And just across the border, with about 55,000 troops in it. And the US has sold about $3.5 billion, I think, of arms equipment to Turkey. And Turkey now has got troops massing on the Syrian border. So everything's really games, eh, for perception management. And it's rather sad. Remember, you can buy the books and discs that I have at cuttingthroughmedias.com. And you can find out how to do it, or donate, in fact, and help me tick along here, because, as I say, who knows how long any of us can last, or even be allowed to keep ticking, put it that way, in this present system, because it's becoming rather ruthless. It always was ruthless, camouflaged under the guise of democracy, but they're becoming more ruthless and toleration or intolerant, or intoleration, put it that way. Because they're not tolerant at all in such utopias. Isn't that the truth of it? And some are more equal than others in such utopias, as George Orwell liked to remind us. For myself, Alan Watt from Ontario, Canada, it's good night. And by the temperatures here, anything but in global warming, it's during the day now, it's way below freezing. Way below freezing. And at night, I'm hitting, in the centigrade, so often 30 below and lower occasionally, and sometimes not a lot higher during the day anyway. And in Fahrenheit, that's way down there, minus zeros. For myself, Alan Watt from Interior Canada, it's good night. May your God or your gods go with you.